You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
Kevin Williams with the crew. Silent J back at our studios. Tom Tremble here. Yankees down 4-0 so far. Pretty good night. Let's move over to Class B North, the fourth of the six divisions, where it was Red Bank Catholic a year ago winning the division by a game over Neptune, who was going to win a state championship. Colts next, Long Branch, Ocean 3, Old Monmouth. After that, the Class B North makeup this year: Freehold, Long Branch, Mattawan, Neptune, Ocean, Red Bank, and Wall. And as Ed kind of touched on earlier, two of the real well-known, well-established, well-respected, and winning Shore Conference coaches, having called it careers last year and leading to new coaches. At Mattawan, Joe Martucci goes out with a state championship. He's replaced by assistant John Kay. And at Wall High School, Chris Barnes steps aside, and Nick Gregorio, a brand new guy in the Shore, comes into that one. And by the way, Chris, Coach Barnes will be part of our broadcast crew. He'll be working with us sometimes throughout this fall. We're looking to having some time to talk with him. But indeed, this is a different looking division, and maybe a team we haven't really mentioned. We all know that. Listen, this is Neptune's division, but I think there's some really interesting things here, including how much, what kind of step can Long Branch take this year?
Right. I mean, Long Branch was a weird team last year. They started 0-5 against a difficult schedule, won 5 in a row to end the year as their running game took off between Dwight Clark and Jaceel Jackson. But now in the preseason, Dwight Clark, who's rushed for 1,000 yards in each of the last two seasons, breaks a bone in his ankle in a scrimmage against Southern. You know, I talked to him. He thinks he's going to miss 4 to 5 weeks, so you're talking probably October. Mm-hmm. So it's, can they hold the fort until he gets back? But, you know, Avery Griffin, their quarterback, returns. You know, Jaceel Jackson, their fullback, who's also a very talented runner, he's back. They do have a very talented sophomore named Demir Willis, who may be the guy to kind of patch that hole at tailback for a little while. So Long Branch, they have experienced linemen. This is a year I think they've built up to the last 2 years that to kind of maybe come back on the scene. It's a question of, you're right, can they knock off a Neptune?
And that's, Steve, where it starts, Neptune.
Yes. They lost a lot of really top-flight football
players. Boy, they sure did.
Jaheim Woods, Jasmar Clack, Ikey Calderon, David Gutsmore, all offshore caliber players, and yet they can reload on the run. Replacing Jaheim Woods is Ajee Patterson, who's a little different type of quarterback than Jaheim Woods, but he's got a rocket for an arm. He may not be as good a runner, but he's got a rocket for an arm. And he can throw to Jeff Fairbanks, who's one of the best receivers on the Shore. He can throw to Keith Kirkwood, who's an incredible athlete and an incredible basketball player. They might be a little bit better on the offensive line this year. Defensively, they're going to be not as strong at linebacker, but probably better on the defensive line. I think until somebody beats them, they're the team to beat here.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about Mattawan, because I saw them in a preseason scrimmage, they against Lacey, ironically, and they demoralized Lacey, shut them out for three quarters, for half, with first stringers in there. I count it 42 players on the field for Mattawan. Very thin. Think they could afford any type of injury, but their quarterback, only a junior, Kayshawn Barnes, seems like he's been around for 5 or 6 years. threw well, ran well, nice little offensive package that John Kay has put in. I think they can make some noise. Can they get over the hump against Neptune? I'm not so sure. I think injuries will play a factor there.
I mean, they've made 3 straight state finals, so it's kind of like you don't want to underestimate them anymore, because they always seem to find a way to still be playing at the end of the season. But, I mean, when Larry Alston was such a centerpiece of that team on both sides of the ball that he won't be easy to replace. But I think Glenn Cross is a really solid, you know, linebacker, safety, running back. Dan Inkles, another quality player, should be one of the better linebackers in the Shore as well. So they still have talent there.
I think this is a division that's loaded with teams that have had great success on the shore over the years. If you want to put those three at the top, Neptune, Long Branch, Mattawan, if you're going to say they're the upper echelon, look what's below it in terms of, you know, Red Bank, really, I thought, really came on strong last year. I thought they were had a really nice year under Nick Giglio, and I think they're going to be okay this year.
Well, I think the highest expectations they've had since days of Cade Weston and guys like that in 2003, 2004. So, I mean, it's now or never for that team. They're a senior-laden team. They have Garrett Sickles, one of the top players in the Northeast, going to Williams State.
Yep.
And, you know, the one tough thing they're dealing with right now is a few injuries. You know, Dylan Stanball, I was actually at the scrimmage against Raritan where he suffered an MCL injury to his knee. He's a top linebacker for them. He could miss some time. But, you know, and Jameer Hinton, another good all-around player for them, is a little banged up. But, yeah, I mean, if this team, they've made a steady rise under Giglio. It was, you know, 3-7, 5-5, and now they're looking to take that next step.
I think you got to talk about their schedule, though, Scott.
Brutal. Yeah.
You're right. You know, not only do they have to face Long Branch, Mattawan, and Neptune, non-conference, RBC, Rumson, Barnegat.
Yeah,
that's not easy.
I mean, they could be the surprise package on the shore, or they could be the biggest disappointment on the shore.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be 7-3 and have a terrific year, or 3-7 because the schedule's...
Now, two other teams in this division have had great success, Ocean and Wall. Now, for Wall, this is a brand-new thing. They're moving up, and they have a new coach in Nick Gregorio. And, man, you know, the cupboard is a little bare.
I don't think anybody's expecting anything out of them, though, you know. No. So he at least enters with not a lot of pressure with almost your entire starting lineup graduating on both sides of the ball. But
proud tradition at that school.
Yes, but I think Ocean is the team, you know, where the natives might be getting a little restless. Yeah. Like, you know, we need to get back in the playoffs and start becoming a factor again after a disappointment. You know, they won their first two games last year, beat Middletown South in overtime,
felt
beat Long Branch,
yeah.
And all of a sudden, bang, I think it was a five-game losing streak. You know, they beat Monmouth they won their last two games to get some confidence, but that's a team that's on the hot seat a little bit. And a team people that I think are underestimating is Freehold Borough.
Yeah. Yep. One year removed from a state championship.
Yeah. Right, and with entire offensive line and pretty much defensive lineback, but a huge O-line coming back, a new quarterback. That position was unsettled all year last year. That Kevin Smith has moved from quarterback now to tight end. So I think they're a team that is ready to surprise some people and remind them, like Ed said, it was only 2 years ago that we won a state championship.
I mean, I think if this is a division, this is a division where every one of those schools has had great success at some point in the last decade or so.
Sure.
You know what I mean? These are heavyweight schools.
And it goes back to what we were saying. Somebody has to finish in sixth or seventh place.
And this is a tough division to be only, rebuilding or a little bit weak, because you could really pay the price for that. Now,
and some of these teams have question marks on offense.
Yeah. Like
Red Bank's one of them, actually. Yeah. Are they going to score enough to keep pace with some of these teams in this division? Ocean's another one. Are they going to score enough to keep pace with the firepower and the Neptunes and the Mattawans and the Long Branches? If they don't, it's going to be a long year for those teams.
Steve, real quick, I know your featured story in the tab today was on Garrett Sickles, who Scott mentioned, the Red Bank defensive lineman who's headed to Penn State. And is clearly has been one of the top recruits in the country.
Yep.
And he is, from reading your article, and I've communicated him via text a little bit, he is firmly committed to Penn State no matter what.
No matter what. I mean, I asked him every which way, and he said, I even asked him, because he hasn't signed. He don't sign until February.
Yeah.
Anybody can call him between now and the first
Wednesday.
And they will, and they have, and they probably have today.
Yeah.
And he said to me several times, I'm going to say thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very impressive young man.
Yeah. I also was, you know what I was interested? What stuck out, guys, the picture you took of him.
In a suit and tie.
In a suit and tie.
It's the election year theme. It was the idea of our sports editor.
I did get that.
I kind of like that.
I did too.
Kind of like that. That was pretty good.
The theme being it's the year of decision, and he's made a decision twice.
But the other thing, I think you look at Sickles' past, though, it parallels his experience at Red Bank. When he was in eighth grade, RBC had just finished number one. Rumson had just come off a state title or state final berth. He could have easily gone to one of those schools because Red Bank was 0-10
that year.
So he could have, just like he could leave Penn State and go to the Alabamas or Floridas, he could have done the same thing at Red Bank, and he chose to go through a rebuilding process. I think that's the kind of kid he is.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
he's a very impressive young man when you sit down and talk to him for a length of time.
Yeah,
just goes to show you that if you're a good athlete, no matter what your team record is, they will find you.
Yeah.
You know? And like Scott said, when – they were having those bad years. You know, you just don't find a kid when he's a senior. You start when he's a freshman and a sophomore. And, you know, hey, Penn State stuck with him. He's sticking with Penn State.
It's
interesting.
Just, it's just like when people say, I want to go to a school that can play, that will help me get into the NFL. If you're good enough, the NFL will find you. They'll find him at Penn State if he's good enough to play in the NFL.
And they find you at Monmouth University, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that's Class B North, which I think really is a heavy, heavyweight division, but maybe has the best team on the shore going in for some people in the Scarlet Flyers of Neptune. We kind of mentioned Class A South in the beginning as just being one of those powerhouse divisions from top to bottom, and this is going to be a tough division for a bad team to get wins in because they're going to face the muster every week. Last year, Class A South, as Scott mentioned at the top of the show, won by Southern Regional for the first time in 300 years. I mean, let's face it. Chuck Donahue, who really has just changed the whole mindset in that program in which they've built a winning tradition and they now expect to win, and it really paid off last year. 5-0 in the division, 8-2 overall, beating out Jackson Memorial, a surprising team by one game. Brick Memorial, Toms River East, Toms River North, and Toms River South rounded up the division a year ago. A very different-looking division this year. Brick Memorial, Brook Township, Jackson Memorial, Lacey Southern, and the three Toms Rivers, East, North, and South. Now, before we get into this, we've got to take a quick top-of-the-hour break. We'll do that, and then we'll come back right after this.
105.7 The Hawk, WCHR-FM Manahawkin, a Town Square media station. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk.
And we're back here at Baker's Water Street Grill. That was a quick break.
Got to
take care of a little business. Got to take care of a little business. Okay, so last year, Southern prevailed. Then I'm going to let you jump here first. Is Southern the favorite going into this year?
I would say they are the favorite. I don't know if they will win it. I did pick them to win this division.
Boy, they're in
you
trouble.
Know, Southern, yeah, exactly. I put the kiss of death on them, you know. I think it took, Chuck, Donahue, a little time to get that program going, but I think you're right. I think he does has instilled that winning attitude now. I think the season hinges around their quarterback, who I believe is hurt, Scott?
I know they're banged up a little bit.
Higgins.
He's had shoulder issues, but I don't think it's anything
right,
major.
No, it's really Burrow, the wide receiver, is a tough loss. I mean, he had an offer from Bucknell.
Yeah, the wide out.
And not only that, he takes the pressure off Mike Gesicki on the other side. But I'm interested just to see how Southern handles expectations. This is the first time since 1973 that they've been a division
defending
champion and had everyone coming. But I think we all talked about their senior class last year as juniors saying, okay, they're a year away. Well, that year is here now. You know, that great class is all seniors. So I think the pressure is on them to deliver another title, which, you know, has never happened in Southern history, back-to-back championships.
You know, then you got a team like Toms River North, who a down year last year, but then I see them in their last scrimmage handle Neptune fairly well. And everybody's got Neptune, right up there in the top three teams in the shore. Are they for real, new quarterback, new running back, but great wide outs in Fields and Carrington. Can they make some noise? I just think this division just black. You talk about black and blue division.
I love this division.
Teams like, let's say a young Brick team. Unfortunately, I don't know if they could win a whole lot of games in this division, only because they're young. Nothing against Coach Dahl's program or anything, but, they are going to play a lot of sophomores in their starting lineups on both sides of the football. And to jump into this division this year, tough task.
And you even look at a Jackson Memorial, which was so great last year, but then they lose 9 starters on defense. They lose Brandon Winston, 2-time 1,000-yard rusher. They lose their quarterback. So that's an ultimate test of this program. Can you continue to compete in a difficult division like this after losing that kind of talent from last year?
But they have linemen. They have linemen.
They have a good offensive line that are experienced and big. They still, Ken Bradley is going to be one of the best linebackers in the shore, and he'll also run the ball some. So, and they expect to still compete. It's not like they're saying, oh, well, we're going to play some young guys. Coach Christopick thinks we should be right in the mix with everyone else. You know?
You think Manalapan's going to enjoy playing them tomorrow night?
Oh, that's
well,
always a
they've
wild.
Owned Manalapan.
I know.
That's like Manalapan's kryptonite.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we mentioned Brick Memorial. Now, losing Anthony Miller is a big loss. A two-way starter, yes. Played for 3 years for the Mustangs.
By the way, let me interrupt.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a year where more players,
have been
quality
hurt.
Players, have been lost in most cases for the season?
Or for large chunks of time.
Or large chunks of time before we played a game in the summer.
Even in the NFL, never seen it.
Yeah, it's so it's disappointing, and you feel bad for the – especially because the thing that really hurts is they're all seniors. I mean, these are kids where this is their last shot, and they're either going to miss the whole year or half the year. And you feel really bad for these kids getting recruited where a Dwight Clark, you know, maybe a school said – just send us film from your first three games of your senior year, and now you're probably not playing in those games. You know, so it's just such a shame.
And then you have an Anthony Miller, who's not only a very good football player, he's a good wrestler who was in the state tournament last year. He's probably going to miss that season.
It's sad when Anthony got hurt. I talked to him a little bit afterwards, and he said, "Well, I'm shooting for 6 months to get back for the team.
For the team
states. What a downer that is for a kid.
Depressing.
But anyway, they return." A good quarterback, Ryan Saplinski, runs that flex bone offense. A little more maybe in the gun look this year, running a little possibly option out of that. He is an outstanding runner and thrower. He's got some big wide outs there. And I think one of the upcoming stars in the Shure Conference, Mike Basile, you know, look for him to have a pretty good year, you know, for the Mustangs.
Lacy.
Yeah, I think they're a program that doesn't stay down for long. You know, they had the 4-6 season after they were wiped by graduation from that undefeated team. They only brought back a handful of players. So they played a ton of sophomores last year. They've got a lot of good talent. And their Achilles heel last year was offense. They couldn't score against any playoff caliber level team. But now you bring in Corey Davies, who's the architect of some of the most explosive offenses of the last 6-7 years in the Shore at Howell. And you also bring in John Tierney from Pinelands, who – you know, ran an offense that set the record for single-season rushing yards by Matt McLean 2 years
ago.
Very
good offensive line coach.
I think you have those two guys to really bolster that. And the thing is, you know, the one thing with Lacy, because you always wonder in A-South, is a team going to be physical enough to compete?
That's
never a question.
They will
be.
They will be physical
enough. How about the fact we haven't even mentioned two of the perennial teams in the Shore, East and South, you know, the tradition teams.
Well, that's what happens when one goes 2-8 and the other goes 3-7.
Yeah, exactly.
South, I mean, I think they will be better only because
but
it
will
is
it be reflected
but
in
will
their
it
record?
Be reflected in the record
in wins, exactly.
And if they don't beat Central tomorrow night and then they go into the A-South gauntlet, that could be a really long year.
I really like their skill players, though.
I do.
Darius Hart, Carney, some of those guys, I think it can really make plays for them.
Don't know if their line. That's the question mark with their line. You know.
And the constant pounding of the A-South.
Yeah, do they have the depth to make it through the grind of a full season yet? I mean, that program has definitely made clear strides in a short amount of time under Coach Signorino. And East, that's their first losing season under Coach Charlie Diskin. That's pretty under. And not only that, they started they won their first game against South and then didn't win again against until Thanksgiving.
Until they beat North.
Until they beat North.
Yeah, they were the Toms River champions.
have one of the best backs, though, Matt Gudzak.
Yeah, well, I think he can break into the upper echelon.
But yet we saw them. We did the game last year. They almost beat Southern.
Yeah.
Right? Gudzak had a big game. They had that game won for a large part of it. They just couldn't stop Mike Gudzak.
Offense was their issue last year against good teams as well.
I think that's where Gudzak really came into prominence in that Southern
game. I mean, you look
game.
At the best East team, the Nico Storiti team that had 10 wins, and they rode a stud running back if they had to hand him the ball 40 times a game, and maybe Gudzak can be that guy.
You know, you think that was it last year? First year without a Storiti on the team?
No,
Mario was. That's right.
Mario was there. Mario was there.
But he was sorry. I take that back. But he was hurt a lot of the year. Yes, he was.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really see him much because of injuries.
I love this division for a lot of reasons. It's old school. It's the old A South.
Geography, too.
It's geography. It's the way A South.
A lot of great rivalries.
Great rivalries. Somebody, good teams balance from top to bottom. Somebody's going to lose games. And the eighth-place team could be like a upper echelon team in, say, a B South.
Yeah, I like this division because I like the fact you got three Toms Rivers, two Bricks.
Two Bricks.
You got two Southern schools in Southern and Lacy who are natural rivalries.
Sure.
You know, and you throw Jackson
and
all these. This is a fun division. I mean, this is going to be some.
And it's one where if you get a lead, you better not take a breath and think you're fine and you're going to, you know, wrap up the title, because this was easily one you could see won't be decided till maybe Thanksgiving.
Day. Yeah.
So
I
Southern's
agree.
The lukewarm favorite? Is that?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Our last of our divisions as we get through this part is Class B Central, which last year was owned by Asbury Park, as it's been for quite a while. The Blue Bishops, 10-2 overall, 5-0 in the division. The second-place team, the runner-up, was the real surprise we touched on earlier, Point Pleasant Beach. Shore Regional had another winning season under Mark Costantino at 6-4 overall. Then it was Keyport. And then two teams that really struggled, each only winning a game, Modern Day and Keensburg. In the B Central this year, it's Asbury Park, Keensburg, Keyport, Modern Day, Point Beach, and Shore. These are almost like the old Class C schools.
It's essentially an untouched division. You
right.
Know, it's
this is the small school division, basically. The smallest schools at the Shore. Now, Asbury's got, what, the new football field, right?
Is it blue?
No, it's not.
Blue in the end zone.
I was kind of bummed. I was hoping they would have the Smurf turf.
Blue in the end zone.
But they've got the new
don't worry, there's still plenty of geese crap all over it.
It's just more prominent now. Used to get lost in the dirt and
grass. You can see it a lot better.
But Coach Artizone's got a new field this year, and I would imagine, you know, despite the fact that good players have graduated, Asbury has been a power the last few years.
Yeah, the weird thing is, you know, obviously they've become known for their amazing skill players. You know, the Conovers, the Hammerys, guys like that. I mean, they do bring back Robert Barksdale, their junior quarterback who ran the show last year as a sophomore. But this team is actually, I think the talent is really up front on the line on both sides of the ball, whereas the skill positions are kind of unsettled, which is surprising at Asbury because usually it's just one star being plugged in for the one who graduated. So I think that's the question mark they have to answer. You know, can they fill those spots in the backfield, in the running game, and that wide receiver after graduating an excellent class? Or is this going to be like 2010 when they graduated a great class, they went 5-5 and missed the playoffs before they roared back last year?
Yeah.
Well, the field will certainly not hurt Asbury Park.
No.
The field turf, that's for sure. And the thing that I find interesting is that if I asked you who the top three teams were for state titles, would you have Asbury in there?
No, but
yes, you would. Yeah. They won six,
right?
Yeah. Right behind.
Tied with Brick and Keyport.
Right, yeah. And Manasquan, and ahead of them, and Middletown South.
What, three
right?
in the last five?
Four in the last five.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Five. Yeah, that's quite a program there. You know, coming from really a bad situation.
Yeah, it was a dysfunctional situation where ineligibilities and all these sort of things. So that's all been settled. It's just, is the talent, you know, it's tough for any team to lose people like the Conovers and the Hammers.
Oh, absolutely.
Guys,
especially
like that
at a small school level.
Right.
You know, and I've said this quite a few times from going to Asbury games. You know, they play at that 12 o'clock, so you get a chance to get over there and see them. I'm so impressed by the coaching staff and the outer, you know, rim people, the principal, the athletic director, on how they handle themselves on the sideline.
Yes.
Very impressed.
It's not a coincidence that as they tighten the ship there, they've had success.
Exactly.
You know, and they've always had a great Pop Warner program. Pop Warner in Asbury means a heck of a lot
everything
to that.
They're always, they always go to Florida.
Yeah, that means a lot to that town and that community. Yeah. And I think that's really been a nice story that maybe some people's flown under the radar, but just I think it's turned the whole school around, to be honest, and certainly the perception of the school, no doubt about it. So if Asbury is once again the team to beat, there are a couple of pretty good programs.
I don't even know if
here.
I would put them as
I don't know
say.
If I would make
I don't
them.
Think so either.
I think Keyport's going to bounce back
Alex
this year.
Thompson.
Yep. Shore is definitely going to be a factor and maybe the co-favorite there.
Yeah.
And Point
and
Beach
and
now
and
knows
and
to
Beach
win.
Beach will be a factor.
All of a sudden, this is a division now.
It's
flip
weird because you look at Beach and you think, I would put them right there, but then you can't quite get it out of your mind that Asbury
right.
beat them 54-6 last year.
Yep.
And, you know, and did beat them twice, although it's a different Asbury team. But, you know, Point Beach has some good linemen back. You know, Kyle Samartano back to run the ball, you know, and Andre Cochran, definitely some good weapons from last year.
Lucas Jordy, a good two-way lineman.
Exactly. I mean, they got kids. So.
John Wagner
can coach. The quarterback?
Yes.
So yes.
Good blood there, right?
Yeah.
Grandson.
Absolutely. Grandson
yes.
of Don Fioretti, the
yep.
former head coach and athletic director. The late Don Fioretti.
And I saw Point Beach on Thanksgiving Eve last year against Shore. They beat him 14-12. Physically, it was much worse than that.
Yeah. But Shore, with Coach Costantino, I think it's going to be right there.
Yeah, I think they battled a lot of injuries last year. Coach Costantino's son, Mark, also named Mark, is a very quality player, you know, running back and on defense. And he was a little banged up last year. Chris Okupski, their big 300-pound lineman on two-way lineman, he only played three games last year before getting hurt. And then the addition of Matt Mew. I think that's the thing. He's the quarterback who transferred from Homedale in the middle, right before the Thanksgiving game last year, which is a little odd. But the question is, can he give them a balanced attack in that wing T? Are teams going to have to fear him throwing the deep ball and back off the line of scrimmage to let that run game work?
And they might show more spread looks, too, which was certainly going to be a culture shock for people that have seen
wing
Shore
T.
run the wing T forever.
It's like seeing Keyport in the shotgun with Alex Thompson in their wing T. You're wondering if it's bizarro world.
Will they go to more of a drop-back passing game rather than the wing T sprint-out passing game?
Now, the two schools at the bottom of the division, here's one thing I can tell you. One of them this weekend will match their win total from last year because Keensburg plays Modern Day.
And I think Keensburg's geared up for this game because Modern Day was winless last year and beat them on Thanksgiving.
For their win.
You know, for their lone win. And Keensburg's been stewing about it. And Keensburg is a senior-dominated team that essentially has everyone back. And they even recruited Danny Markelin off their basketball team, a 6'4 kid who can jump, you know, to play wide receiver and in the secondary. So Keensburg could make a decent jump in the standings given how much experience they have, you know. But on the other hand, this is a team that's gone one and, you know, has one total win in the last two seasons.
And is it a good or bad sign when on a way to a scrimmage the team bus hits a pole and gets in an accident? Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
Hard to find a positive about that, really.
No, that they're alive.
No, everybody was safe. You know, we laugh about it, but everybody was okay. Yeah. And they did get to the scrimmage. They were going to Homedale.
So I think this is maybe the one division where I don't know that everyone has the same thing. I think you like Shore.
Yeah, I kind of like Shore. I just feel like there's not a clear favorite. You know, I could see a four-way race between Asbury, Beach, Shore, and Keyport with Alex Thompson. If Alex Thompson makes a next step forward after kind of being overwhelmed at times as a sophomore, but, I mean, how many teams have a 6'5 kid who can sling the ball around like he does? So I wouldn't say there's a clear-cut favorite.
Steve, I think this division, more than any, because you're talking about a couple hundred, 300-400 kids in each school.
Injuries,
a major factor. Who can stay healthy wins this division.
Absolutely, because 95% of these players go both ways.
Exactly.
And I also think who has the best run defense, because you look at a lot of these offenses, even though they throw the ball a little bit in wing T, they still want to run it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, the team that stops the run the best, which could be Asbury.
If that's the case, I'll bet on Asbury.
Right. I think that Asbury's defense will be very solid. I just think are they going to continue to have this explosive offense after losing that caliber of talent?
And I'll tell you, after seeing Domingo Perez on the wrestling mat last year, he's athletic, and he is strong as an ox.
Yeah, I mean, they got a couple, you know, Nick Famularo is another three-year guy up there. So, I mean, they have the guys up front, and Barksdale is a good athlete. You know, he can make things happen.
By the way,
we'll
Keyport
see.
And Asbury play on the opening Saturday.
Right, that's an immediate.
There's a big game right off the bat in the division. So that's sort of a scan around the division. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk in some generalities. I'd like all the guys to kind of throw out their what they think are their preseason top tens, which is kind of interesting because I think you're going to hear a lot of the same names in that one. Maybe the top players in the Shore Conference this year, certainly some of the top recruits, and then I'll put all the guys on the spot and say, okay, after the first weekend of December, who from the Shore Conference will win a state championship? We'll do that as we go around the Shore Conference on our 2012 high school football preview right here on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.